The title of the message today is Plan Your Route. Would you please say that out loud? Say, plan your route. Let's personalize it. Say, I gotta plan my route. And so the subtitle today is to set your GPS. So you want to plan your route out with the Lord, and you want to set your GPS. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5 here says, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. So I want you to know today, God wants to give you direction. But just keep this verse in the backdrop of your thinking here, that the Lord wants to direct your heart. And he directs your hearts into God's love. There's so much we could say about that. But then into Christ's perseverance as well. So the more you understand God's love, the more you get a revelation of God's love, and the more you persevere in Christ, you are going to really tap into your destiny and succeed in many, many different ways. And so the Lord wants us to plan our route, to set our GPS. So a GPS, some of you may not know that GPS stands for Global Positioning System. That's what a GPS is. And it's a network of satellites and actually receiving devices that are used to determine the location of something on Earth. So most of our phones now have GPSs, and immediately that GPS can determine your location. That's why you can open up your map app and see where you're at. And so it gives really accurate positioning, navigation, and even timing measurements worldwide. So what's neat, I can take my running watch and I can be in Africa and it can find the GPS and it can mark how fast, what my pace is, and where I'm running. I can do the same thing when I'm in Asia, and I can do it when I'm in my neighborhood. So a GPS is actually quite enjoyable. It can be a lot of fun. Now, if you're older, some of us remember before we had cell phones, before we had the internet, and you had to study a map. Remember that? We had to pull out a map, and we had to write down our left and rights and where we were going to go. And you had to stop and ask for directions sometimes because you might have gotten lost. And so it took a lot more thoughtful planning in that regard. Now, I think some of us that grew up without telephones or cell phones, without the internet, it took us a while, or at least it took me a while, to trust Google. Now, when the internet first came out, there actually were a lot of mistakes. Do some of you remember that? Remember when the internet first came out and you would Google something, and Google would tell you it's the best route. Sometimes it took you to the wrong place. I'm so glad we have some older people nodding, because my kids really trust Google. They trust it. Now I'm learning to trust Google a little more, and they actually are quite good now. They'll tell you how much traffic and how long it's going to take. And I'm amazed. They like hit it right on every time, how long it's going to take and everything. But when we first started, it wasn't that easy. There were a lot of inaccuracies. There were a lot of wrong directions. And so I think because I didn't grow up with it, and then because there were many mistakes, it took me a little bit of time to trust. But when you really understand how a GPS works, man, it's really nice. You can go to a place you've never been to before, and not just here, but in developing countries as well. You can type something in, and it'll give you the directions. Similar to a GPS is a compass. And some of you may remember using a compass. A compass is a device that indicates direction, and it's one of the most important instruments when it comes to navigation. So I want to talk to us for a few minutes today about setting our GPS, setting our route, and talking about direction in our lives and planning that route out with the Lord. And so we've got to trust the GPS. We've got to trust the map, if you will. You've got to trust the direction of your compass. So today I want to talk about three different things. I want to talk about getting direction. I want to talk about discipline. And then I want to talk about discovery. So the first one is direction, getting direction from the Lord. I want you to know today, God wants to give you direction. I think sometimes we make this a little too complicated. And I understand the feelings about it, because we're really seeking the Lord on maybe whether or not we should buy a house, whether or not we should take a job, what school we might want to go to, those kinds of things. And so as we're seeking the Lord, I understand it can seem daunting, it can seem intimidating, but I think sometimes we complicate things much more. I want you to know that God wants to give you direction. That's really important for us to realize that God wants to give us direction in our life. And he wants to be very, very specific at times. Yes, there's the general will of God, but there is specific things that he wants to talk to you about. Now, most of you have this verse memorized, but in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, here's what the writer says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Some of you are really good at trusting Google. I'm trying to work at trusting that GPS system. But when it comes to the Lord, some of us have trouble trusting the Lord. But he says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Sometimes we're just trying to figure every detail out. And it's really about you trusting the Lord. And if you'll trust the Lord, if you'll trust the fact that he wants to give you direction, he does want to speak to you about your family, about your marriage, about your parenting, about your job situation, about things, how you should operate. He wants to talk to you. And so we need to trust the Lord, not lean on our own understanding. And then he says this, in all your ways, acknowledge him. If you acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, then he will direct your paths. This is a heart of surrender. This is a heart of complete trust to the Lord. It's a heart of saying, God, I trust you with all of my heart. I trust that you have the best in mind for me. I trust that you want to guide me when it comes to my relationships. You want to guide me when it comes to my financial decisions. You want to guide me. You'll direct my path. And so we trust him in it. We don't lean only on our own understanding. We're not just trying to figure everything out. But then we acknowledge him in all of our ways. If you acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, the promise, it's a promise, he will direct your path. Say amen to that. And so God wants to give you direction. And so please receive that in your heart today with faith to say, you know what, God wants to give me direction. Sometimes I think that we think that the Lord is holding back. And I want you to know he's not holding back today. He really wants to give you direction for your life. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you that clear, precise direction that you're longing for in your life. So God wants to give you your direction. Now, similar to that, God has plans for you. Not only does he want to give you direction, but he has plans for you. Now, most of you have this memorized. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. In fact, why don't we just read it out loud together? Here we go. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So God has plans for you. If we could just really believe that and receive that into our heart, not only does he want to give you direction, but he has plans for you. And they're amazing plans. They're plans for you to prosper. They're plans for you to enjoy life. They're plans for you to do something remarkable and amazing for him. That's an exciting adventure to realize that God wants to give me direction, but he's got some plans. So if we could get a hold of this, that he has plans for us. Now linked to this verse, I would give you Ephesians 2 and verse 10. In Ephesians 2 and verse 10, Paul says it this way, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Again, God has amazing plans for our life, and he has some works, he has some things for you to accomplish. He has some plans for you to accomplish. This is an exciting adventure. Now, don't miss the first part of this verse. He says, you're God's workmanship. Some translations say that we are his handiwork, but some translations use the word masterpiece. And that's really probably, in my estimation, the closest translation to the Greek, because it comes from the word poem, which is where we get our word poem. And so it's this idea of God's writing a poem about your life. He's writing a masterpiece. You are a masterpiece. You realize that, right? Nobody's like you today. Nobody has your eyes. Nobody has your fingerprints. Nobody has your DNA structure. You're a masterpiece. In fact, I think you should say that out loud, whether you feel it or not. Let's say it out loud. Say, I am a masterpiece. In fact, let's just get real spiritual and say, behold, I am a masterpiece. Now look to your neighbor and say, behold, I am a masterpiece. So you're a masterpiece. You're his workmanship. And so he's going to do something remarkable and amazing with you because you're his masterpiece. Nobody is like you in this world. And so God has plans for you. So God wants to give you direction. He's got plans for you. So we could say this, it follows then that we should plan things out with the Lord. If God took some time to plan your life, if he took some time to create you, if he took some time to breathe life into you, if he took some time to plan out your destiny, prepare some things for you, it would follow and it would make sense that you and I should take time to plan things out with the Lord. So God has plans for you, and he wants you to plan some things out. He wants us to pray into some plans. So we should plan things out, and don't miss what I've written here, that we plan things out with the Lord. Because how many people know you can make your own plans? You can not acknowledge him at all. You can try to do things in your own strength, but that's not going to lead you to joy. That's not going to lead you to meaning. It's not going to bring fulfillment in your life. You will struggle as the days and as the years go by. But if you completely surrender to the Lord and say, Lord, I believe you got plans for me, and I want to plan things out with you in prayer, now it gets exciting because God will be in on it. Say amen to that. And so we should plan things out with the Lord. Now, Psalm 37 and verse 4 says it this way, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So I just want to set you free today. If you delight yourself in the Lord, then you can trust the desires that are in you. See, some people are afraid of their desires. And in fact, I would venture to say much of the body of Christ has been afraid to talk about this because they think or conclude that we all just have evil desires. Yes, humanity has some evil desires. But when you give your heart to the Lord and you're born again and you're seeking the Lord with all your heart and you're delighting in him, you know what the Lord does? He injects godly desires inside of you. What you want to do is you want to love on the Lord. What you want to do is worship. What you want to do is follow him. What you want to do is advance the kingdom. What you want to do is preach the gospel. What you want to do is help others and give to others. Those are desires that come from the Lord. What you want to do is see people healed. What you want to do is see people delivered. Those are desires that come from the Lord. As you delight yourself in him, he gives you his desires and he moves you toward those desires. So you can trust those desires. I think sometimes we don't even trust some of our own desires. If God has put a desire in your heart, trust it. In fact, and this might be too good a news for some of you guys, but pay attention to what you get excited about. Pay attention to what gives you a buzz, to what energizes you. If you get excited about worship, if you get excited about seeing the sick healed, if you get excited about miracles, if you get excited about sharing the gospel, if you get excited about giving finance to others, pay attention to those desires because God's stirring that up in you. And as you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. You can trust those desires. Amen? We saw in Proverbs, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And then he'll direct your paths. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Desire the Lord. And as you desire the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. Amen? And so the first thing that we want to trust today is that God has direction for us. Wants to give you direction. So let's just pause and make it a prayer. Close your eyes. Maybe you want to lift your hands and just say, Lord, I trust you that you want to give me direction. Yeah, God wants to give you direction, very specific direction for your life. And you can trust him in the process. You don't have to second guess it. You don't have to think that God is tricking you. Just because your employer tricked you doesn't mean God's going to trick you. Say amen to that. Just because somebody in your life tricked you or manipulated you, that doesn't mean that God is that way. In fact, you need to renew your heart and renew your mind to the fact that God is good and He wants to give you direction. So we receive that in faith today, Lord. We believe that in faith today. We're excited about that. And so we want to pray into this this idea of planning our route, getting direction for our lives, getting direction for this year, getting direction for our families. The second aspect of this is that we need to discipline ourselves. And so, you know, you can have a desire for something, you can get direction from the Lord, but it's going to take some discipline. It's going to take some hard work. Things just don't happen. If it was easy, everybody would do it. But most things in life that are worthwhile take a lot of hard work. Most things that are worthwhile take some discipline. And so we've got to discipline ourselves. And so God wants us to be disciplined. Listen to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. How true is that? Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So there's a lot in this verse that we could develop. But no discipline seems pleasant at the time. If you haven't been exercising and you haven't been running, the first day that you go out and run, you're probably going to be really sore. If you haven't been lifting weights and you decide that you're going to lift weights, the first day that you lift weights, the next day you're probably going to be really sore. And so no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces results. It produces rewards. It produces benefits in your life. And here the text says it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Don't miss that word, to be trained by it. To be disciplined means that you train yourself. And so you learn to add on more weight. You learn to be consistent in your running. But as you train, then you're gonna experience the results. You're gonna experience the blessings. This is Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. Now, verses 12 and 13, I'm gonna read to you out of the Message because I think it's just refreshing. Verse 12 and 13. So don't sit around on your hands. No more dragging your feet. Clear the path for long distance runners so no one will trip and fall. So no one will step in a hole and sprain an ankle. Help each other out and run for it. Isn't that refreshing? And so the Lord doesn't want us to sit around on our hands. No more dragging our feet. He wants us to discipline ourselves. And so it takes discipline to run a race. It takes discipline to get in shape. It takes discipline to do things. Now, I want you to think about this, that when we talk about discipline, the root word of discipline is disciple. That has helped me immensely. Because as time goes on, and especially when I was younger, I didn't feel like I was that disciplined. I would set goals for myself, and I would tend to fall short of those goals, and then I'd feel bad about myself, and I would struggle with this idea that I didn't feel that discipline. But when I started realizing, you know what, the root word of discipline is disciple, that was really refreshing to me. Because I said, you know what, I want to be a disciple. I want to go after the Lord. And then the other aspect of this idea of discipleship is that it was relational. So it wasn't about rules, it was about relationship. It wasn't about just do's and don'ts. It was about running a race with the Lord. It was about doing something with the Lord. It was about involving Him in that. So God wants us to be disciples. He wants us to be disciples. Listen to Luke 9 and verse 23. Then He said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." So being a disciple of Christ involves desire, it involves relationship, but it does involve you denying your flesh. It does involve you training yourself and doing something that sometimes is difficult, but you're after the Lord. You're after the reward of that. And so you have to deny yourself. And don't miss this. You take up your cross daily. That's discipline. Doing something daily. Doing something, we'll say it this way, on a very consistent basis. That's discipleship. So the Lord wants you to go hard after Him. He wants you to run after Him. He wants you to run the race with Him. That's discipleship. Doing something with the Lord. Now to me, that got really refreshing. To do something with the Lord, because then it wasn't about do's and don'ts. It was about the experience with the Lord. That should really help set us free in some of these ways. Now, I discovered this, and I submit it to you today. I found out this, and there's a lot of scriptures that I could give you to support this, that if I don't discipline myself, in the end, the Lord's going to discipline me. Just let that sink in a little bit. So if I don't discipline myself, then the Lord will eventually discipline me. Those of us that are parents, we can identify with that. You try to discipline your children, try to train them in the way they should go, try to put the guardrails, say you need to do this or you don't need to do that. We have guardrails for them. And if they follow that narrow path, there's blessing, right? If they go off the path, they lose privileges, or we have to discipline them in certain ways to get them on that narrow path. And it's the same thing with us, with the Lord. You know, God wants us to discipline ourselves, and there's delight in that. But if we don't discipline ourselves, eventually he's gonna get us back onto that path. He's going to get us back into that place where we're doing what he wants us to do. So we can either discipline ourselves and understand this aspect of discipleship, or eventually the Lord is going to discipline us. And if we look at some extreme examples, we see that over and over. Somebody falls off the road, somebody breaks the guardrail, and they experience the discipline of the Lord. And that's very scriptural, because the Lord says you'll reap what you sow, right? So he disciplines us. But how much better to say, Lord, I want to be discipled. I want to go after this. There's refreshing in that. So God wants us to be disciplined, and he wants us to be disciples. So it would follow then that we should train with the Lord. How do you do this? You train with the Lord. I'm not pretending that I'm any kind of an athlete, but I do enjoy running to stay in shape. I actually enjoy participating in triathlon. That to me is a fascinating and intriguing sport because of the different disciplines that are involved. And so I'm not trying to pretend to be an athlete, and I'm not trying to pretend that I'm super spiritual. I'm just going to share my testimony with you. I have learned a lot about myself because I've trained. And I've learned about my weaknesses. I've learned how to rest. I've learned how to train hard. I've learned that I need to recover. And so I've learned a lot about myself. I've learned a lot about the training process. But then I'll say this, spiritually, I've also trained with the Lord. I can't even tell you how many times I'll get a breakthrough on a sermon when I'm cycling, or when I get the third point of a sermon, or some revelation on something when I'm running. God just releases that answer. He releases that creativity through that process. And so for me, spending an hour on a bicycle and exercising away from phones, away from everything else, and being unplugged, the Lord, it actually has become a very, very spiritual time for me. Again, I'm not trying to sound super spiritual or anything, but for me, it has really, really helped me in that training process. And there's so much about those things that are a reflection of our spirituality. So to me, it's been refreshing to say, you know what, I'm training with the Lord. I'm doing this with the Lord. Now, when it comes to the spiritual disciplines, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's not this idea that I got to do a bunch of stuff, or that I have to follow through on a bunch of rules in order to be a good person. It's more the idea of, you know what, I'm going to do this, and it's a joy of doing it with the Lord, because it's about relationship, and then there's always reward in that. There's a release of answers. There's a release of reward. Does this make sense? And so the Lord really wants to encourage us today that we should train with the Lord. I love these pictures. Listen to 1 Corinthians 9 and 24 to 25. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? So throughout the scriptures, there's multiple verses where the Lord gives this picture of the Christian life being like running a race. And when he gives it like running the race, it's not the picture really of a sprint, it's the picture of a marathon. It's a picture of a long distance run. So do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. And that's what we want to highlight. We go into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. So why do we discipline ourselves? We discipline ourselves because of the eternal rewards, because of the blessing of relationship, the blessing of revelation, the blessing of what God wants to release to us. Listen to Proverbs 4, and this is verses 24 to 27. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. It's this idea of running a race with the Lord. It's this idea of walking a path, running on the path that the Lord has for you, that you would discipline yourself, that you would train yourself with the Lord. And so that comes to your worship. That comes to your prayer time. That comes to you studying the Word of God. That comes to you serving the Lord. But you're training with the Lord. It does involve discipline. And so I don't mean this to be a heavy. I don't mean this in any way to put a bunch of stuff on us that we feel like we're not measuring up. It's actually the antithesis. I'm trying to do the opposite by saying, yeah, if we discipline ourselves, it's really about the journey. It's about the joy of knowing. It's about doing it with Him. And that gets really exciting. Say amen to that. You know, years ago, my wife and I, we discovered, and we both have always enjoyed athletics and exercise and everything, but we finally discovered that we can run together. And it's just refreshing. Now, here's the thing. When I run, and sometimes we just run, and then we walk, and then we run, and then we walk. But when I do that with Sarah, I want you to know I'm not interested in running faster than her. Say amen to that. So I'm not the husband that is so competitive. In fact, if my wife ran a faster 5K than me, I would just love it. I would just couldn't stop smiling. I think that's wonderful. So I'm not the husband that thinks he's got to beat his wife at everything. I actually don't relate to that, how husbands and wives compete with each other. I actually enjoy hanging out with my wife and seeing her succeed in certain areas. So with my wife, I guess I should qualify that. I do like to win at certain certain card games, but I can never beat her in anything. So I've just resigned. But when we run together, I just enjoy being with her. I enjoy the journey of running with her. It's not about the race necessarily. It's about the accomplishment and the joy in the journey. Now that's just me, but I really enjoy that. And so when it comes to training myself with the Lord, that's the way it's supposed to be, that you just enjoy being with Him. You enjoy running with Him. You enjoy praying. You enjoy talking to Him about things. You enjoy worshiping. It's with Him is what I'm trying to get across. And there's a joy in that. So then the discipline becomes a delight. It's not a chore. It becomes a delight. Yes, there's work involved. Yes, I have to deny myself like the scripture said, but there's a joy in that. Can you say amen? And so first, there's this idea of direction, getting direction from the Lord. Second, yeah, it takes some discipline. The third aspect is discovery. Because I found out that if we're seeking God for His direction, we're disciplining ourselves, we're going to discover some wonderful things. And so I want you to know God wants you to discover new things. Have you found out that this is inexhaustible? You can read a verse 100 times and there's still something new about it, something refreshing, a fresh revelation, a new application, man, it's eternal. It's inexhaustible. And so God wants us to discover new things. I decided to pull this one verse out because I thought it was interesting. Genesis 26 and verse 19. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. And I just thought this is a great verse to apply to when we start talking about the spiritual disciplines. They had to dig. They had to do something. But then they discovered a fresh well of water. You know, if you'll dig, you're going to discover. God wants you to know His will for your life. He wants you to find direction. But if you dig a little bit, you're going to discover fresh water, fresh revelation. So He wants you to discover new things in His Word, new aspects of God's Word is like a multifaceted diamond. It has so many different ways of looking at it, and you'll get fresh revelation on God's Word, and you'll discover new things, and you'll discover new ways to apply God's Word and to apply faith to your situation. So God wants us to discover new things. And then God wants us to know that it's worth it. He wants us to see that it's worth it to discover those things. Listen to Matthew 13 and verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. There is so much we could say about this, that there's a treasure for you to go after. This guy finds it, and because he found it, he hid it again, goes, sells everything he had, took all of his money and bought that field for that one treasure. Man, there is treasure that God wants you to discover. What a beautiful picture here. That God wants us to see that it's worth it. Is it worth it to sell everything else? Is it worth it to deny ourselves? Is it worth it to go after the treasure that God has for us? Verses 45 and 46 say this, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had, and then he bought it. Would you be willing to leave everything else to seek His treasure? Would you be willing to discipline yourself to say nothing else is as important as going after the Lord, as going after the treasure? But that's an exciting adventure. That's an exciting journey that the Lord wants to give you more and more answers, more and more treasure. So God wants us to see that it's worth it. And so it follows. If God wants us to discover new things, if He wants us to see that it's worth it, that then we should seek out treasure. And we should do it with the Lord. Because this is all about relationship. So we need to seek out treasure with the Lord. Most of you have this memorized. In fact, we should just read it out loud together. Here we go. Matthew 7 and verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. There's something about seeking the Lord. See, there was a reason why the Lord spoke in parables. It wasn't that He was trying to keep the answer from everybody. It wasn't that He was so mysterious and He wanted to trick people. That's not the purpose of parables. Jesus was really clear about what parables come as a story so that we can relate, we can understand them. But He also said this, it's so you'll seek the Lord. You'll seek Him for the answer. You'll think about it. You'll pray. You know what it's really like? It's like playing hide and seek. When my kids were little, we used to love playing hide and seek in the house. But when they were really little, I'd want them to find me. And that was exciting. And I don't know who got more joy out of it, me or them. But it was so much fun. Because I would hide and just wait. In fact, I'd give them clues. Let them see a little bit of me hiding that they could find me. And that brings joy and delight to a dad that they could find. And then they were so excited and thrilled that they found me. And that's the way the Lord is. The Lord's not trying to keep some incredible secret from you about His will or anything. But He does want you to seek Him. It's about hide and seek. It's about you going after the treasure. I think all of us would enjoy finding some treasure. Wouldn't that be great to find some treasure in your backyard? All of us have this sense of, man, what would it be like to find, you know, treasure in the sea, treasure in your backyard, those kind of things. Those kind of things are exciting to think about that would change your life forever. And so when it comes to the Lord, would we seek him? Would we go after him to get the treasure of revelation, the treasure of knowing him, the treasure of understanding his heart about situation, about understanding his will for our lives and getting some insight into things that are happening in the world today. Another scripture is Matthew 6:33. Most of you have it memorized, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. But don't miss it. Seek first his kingdom. Seek him. There's something about seeking him. There's something about the adventure of going after the Lord, about going after the things of the kingdom. And so God wants us to plan our route. He wants us to plan things out. But notice this. God wants to give you direction. He wants you to discipline yourself. But then the third thing is he wants you to discover. You're gonna discover some wonderful things. And the longer you do this, you'll discover there's joy in the journey. It's not so much about where you're going, it's about who you're going with. It's not about whether you've arrived at a certain place, it's about the joy. It's kind of like running with my wife. It's not about a certain destination, it's just I get to be with her. I get to be with the prettiest girl in the whole world. I get to run with her. I get to experience that relationship. And so it's that discovery with the Lord as well. Say amen to that. And so if we view prayer that way, if we view Bible study that way, if we view serving the Lord that way, it is an exciting treasure. It's an exciting discovery that we get as we seek the Lord. Can you say amen? And so I really want to encourage you to begin to plan your route out with the Lord this next year, to set your GPS, to take inventory and say, Lord, where am I at in my spiritual walk? What could I do? Are there some adjustments, some improvements, some things that I could do? And I really want to set my GPS. Again, not a heavy, you know, a lot of times people don't set goals because they don't want to fail. They don't set goals because they're disappointed. They feel like they've not, that they've fallen short over and over. But I hope that we could see it this way, that it's really more about our journey with him. And so we would take inventory and see where we're at in our life. And then how can we set our GPS? How can we begin to plan our route with the Lord? Amen, church. So say this out loud. Say, I want to plan my route. I want to plan my route. So in conclusion, I've just given these, in each one of those points, our action points, that we should plan things out with the Lord. Second thing, we should train with the Lord. And thirdly, we should seek out treasure with the Lord. So as you begin to think and meditate on the weeks that are coming up, as we begin to look at next year, how can we plan things out with the Lord? How can we seek him? How can we train with him? Amen? Let's stand to our feet today. Let's stand to our feet.